I thought I was Pac for the longest time. Right. Pac went to art school. I went to art school.
Right.
Pac wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to be a rapper.
Right. Because
everybody wanted to, you know? And it informed our self-esteem and our self-esteem because unlike dancehall, hip-hop was more ambitious.
Right.
You had very audacious and risky people in hip-hop.
Right.
Who were doing their business. Puff, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
These are people that made it seem as if, oh, this is a business.
Right.
Yo, welcome to World Music Views. My name is Gerald Watkiss, and this week I have international superstar, hip hop hooray. This year is the 30th anniversary of Hip Hop Hooray, which he just told me about. None other than Vin Rock from Naughty by Nature, East Orange, New Jersey, Jamaica.
Yes. How are you, man?
What's up, man?
I'm good. Yeah.
Yo, this is like a dream come true for me, right?
Yeah.
My mother used to be like, turn off the BET. Because I'd be watching music videos from you and all the acts of the 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
First of all, tell everybody who you are and how you got into the game.
Okay. Well, my name is Vin Rock, a.k.a. Uncle Vinny. I'm one-third of the Grammy Award-winning group Naughty by Nature. We're based in East Orange, New Jersey. My two partners are KG and Tretch. And I basically got into the game just like the average person, you know, watching TV. You had BET coming up. We have Video Music Box, you know, and Hot Track. So just seeing guys early Run DMC, Malcolm McLaren, the New York City Breakers, that's what really got me into it. And then I heard the Fat Boys and Dougie Fresh doing a beatbox. I was hooked and addicted. And just like your mom tell you, turn that music off. I'm running around. And my mom's like, would you stop that noise?
Because that's what they used to call hip-hop. They never thought hip-hop would become a $1 trillion industry. Because I remember they were burning CDs. There was this lady called C. Dolores Tucker that used to destroy Tupac CDs in like 96.
Yes.
And they had a whole campaign for, I think it was Tommy Boy the label or TVT label, that they were trying to ban his music. What do you think about hip-hop then? And that early days of it being seen as a music that's not worthy to where it is now.
Right. Well, I think even before the C. Dolores Tucker and Tupac issue, we started like 70s, you know, with Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and The Message. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from growing under. So hip-hop was born out of the ruins of New York City, you know? These were neighborhoods that were abandoned, school systems in disarray, you know, no live music. So our kids took the scraps, literal scraps, record players, and just the culture alone, and created a music that was recreation for the kids. So hip-hop was free. You didn't have to pay to, you know, join the Little League or anything like that. You could just walk up and down the streets. And from breakdancing, the kids having the cardboard and linoleum out there, to graffiti art, people spraying on the walls, to just the music. You know, Kool Herc, who's Jamaican, he's over there in the Bronx just setting up his turntables, playing music for the people, and having park jams and party jams right there in the project. So we created a culture out of nothing. And then, as you know, it was never respected as a real art form because you started sampling records, and then the real musicians like, oh, you're not doing anything but sampling my old music, you know? But it was all they had. So I guess once hip hop started making money, you know, the labels started investing in it. And then once the labels started investing in it, and it was stabilizing, unfortunately in the US in particular, a lot of drugs and guns were flooding our community. So just culture-wise, you know, it changed the tone of the music. It changed the voice of the music. And then we had groups like N.W.A. who were out on the West Coast because hip-hop started on the East Coast. So groups like N.W.A., they were talking about their experiences and the police brutality on the West Coast. And they were flooded with guns and drugs. So they had a really raw interpretation of hip hop. And I think that's when the politicians started coming out and saying, hey, man, this isn't right. I don't like this music. Not only is it a proper music art form, but it's violent. And then that's when you started getting the pushback,
you know? At what point was that turning point from no money to money in hip hop? Like who was that artist or what era was that where they look like, oh, this is like a real industry?
Right. Well, I would say Run-DMC because they broke really big commercially with their collaboration with Aerosmith with Walk This Way, right? So Aerosmith was one of the big rock groups of the day, you know? In the 70s and the 80s, you had the big hair rock groups, and that's what it was all about. But then when hip hop came along, it was like the changing of the guard. And then when Run-DMC collaborated with Aerosmith, that really crossed over both genres, right? And it became mainstream. So I think then that's when the labels were like, okay, this thing is real. And then we got into the 90s when we came along as Naughty by Nature. And I think we, in the early 90s, we started this entrepreneurial thing where we began to invest in ourselves because Run-DMC had a deal with Adidas and, you know, they did their thing. If you would think about what Run-DMC did and what Kanye did, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it began that. But for us, when we came up in the 90s, a lot of these corporations wanted to give us free clothes, wanted us to support their brands. But when we said, let's do a real deal, they never wanted to do a real deal. So we were like, you know what?
Which means equity.
That's
like
right.
What Kanye that's asked right. for or is asking for.
That's right. Equity and even just, okay, if we support your brand and you do a deal with us 3 to 5 years and you pay us and we get a residual, you know what I'm saying? Something simple like that. They didn't respect the artists enough to do a respectable deal. They were just like, take my free clothes, wear them all about, and then subconsciously, you're blowing up my brand and you have no equity, you know? So when we came up, we were like, no, we're not doing that. And then hip hop was always such that when you had your crew, you would spray paint your own t-shirts, you would make your own hats and represent your crew, and you would always brand yourself before it became popular, right? So once we knew the corporations were trying to use us, we were like, we'll invest in ourselves. So we were one of those groups who invested in ourselves, invested in our own brand, you know, Naughty Gear. We put up our own retail store in 1994, and it really changed the game. That's when we started doing our own record labels, our own clothing lines, and our own television and film companies.
How did Naughty by Nature become a group? Like, all of you are from Jersey, right?
Yep.
So how did you meet? Did you go to school? Like, how did that come together?
Yeah, so all three of us, we live in like a 5-block radius from each other. KG and I went to primary and elementary school together. Tretch was high school. So we always knew him, though, because he lived around our way. But it wasn't until we got in high school that we came together as a group. So KG is a year older than Tretch and I. And he was a senior in high school, and we were juniors. So he wanted to do a senior talent show. And at the time, I was break dancing and beatboxing because I wasn't ever rapping. And then I used to go across the street. My guy, Ski, I used to break dance with him. But KG lived directly across the street from him, and he would DJ. So after breakdancing, I would go over to K and beatbox for him while he DJ. So he's like, well, I want to do this talent show, but we need an MC. So I'm like, there's this guy. His name is Tiny. Tiny T. Treachery. He's in my health class. Every other day, I beatbox for him. He comes to school with a new rhyme. So I brought Tretch over to K, and that's how we formed the first time. We didn't even have a name, but we did the talent show. And KG scratched in the Beastie Boys, it's the new style. So that became the name of our first group, the new style. So if you do the deep digging, you'll see KG had a high top fade, Tretch had braids, and we wore Argyle sweaters and stuff like that. So total different vibe than Naughty by Nature.
So in the 90s, right? Hip hop took over the world with big figures like Big and Tupac,
yeah,
who eventually died Some say from the beef that happened, East Coast, West Coast beef, which was being pushed by the media. Being a Jamaican, the only way I would have known about East Coast, West Coast beef was by taking up a Vibe magazine.
Right.
And seeing that on the cover, or watching something American made, right? To the rest of the world, we just saw it as this hip hop, nice, right. Big, something that we should participate in.
Right.
But then when we read the magazine, we realized there's so much backstory about who neighborhood beef and people having issues with each other. How do you think hip hop would have grown had Tupac and Big remained figures in hip hop alive? And do you like how hip hop, the state of hip hop today?
Wow. I think had Tupac and Biggie lived, the whole complexion of hip hop would be different right now, you know? And I think with the intelligence and the historical black background from the Black Panthers, you know, everything that Tupac was equipped with, I think he would have shared more of that with Biggie. And then a lot of the street struggle that Biggie grew up with, they would have merged forces and been just one big galvanized force. It would have been crazy, you know? And then if you add on a Tretch and a Snoop Dogg and the rest of everyone else, man, it would be crazy, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think it is what it is. I think Tupac and Biggie's legacy for hip-hop artists, it should be one of caution, because you can't let your ego get so involved that you go at each other so hard that the media, you know, they are culture vultures. So they will vulture off of your demise. They'll vulture off of your beef, sell their magazines, sell their TV shows. And at the end of the day, they profit and you die, you know? And really, it's the same thing that's going on today. And, you know, from the origins of hip hop, where it was a getaway or a workaround for kids to create culture, to create recreation, to see how it's exploited right now, and to see how our kids are manipulated, especially by social media, saying, well, you know what? It's easier for me to beef with you and to get views and likes and engagement than to be your friend, you know what I mean? And talk more positive. Maybe that's not as intriguing. Maybe it doesn't get you as many views, but I'd rather not have views and all of the fake love, but have real love and less drama. And you live a long life.
which is like the secret to life, living long, right? If 30 years pass since one of the hip hop classic songs, Hip Hop Hooray, a little kid will know that. Right. You were telling me that Burna Boy said that's one of the first songs he knew.
Yes.
Tell me about the making of that song, and tell me about your Burna Boy collaboration.
Yeah. So I was song Hip Hop Hooray, you know, that was the first single off of our second album. So our first album was self-titled Naughty by Nature. The hit single off of there was OPP. Then we had Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Yeah. And then we had Everything's Gonna Be All Right. We actually sampled the Boney M version of Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Everything's Gonna Be All Right. We called it Ghetto Bastard, but the song was Everything's Gonna Be All Right. So that second song off the first song off the second album was Hip Hop Hooray. And Hip Hop Hooray gave props to hip hop and all of the forefathers that came along, you know what I mean, who came before us. So I think, unlike a lot of artists today, as soon as they come out, they're like, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. There was none before me, none after. So when we came out, we gave props to all of the forefathers. So that's what Hip Hop Hooray was all about. That's why we created the song. And then the hand waving, that came from a summer jam we did. You know, we were testing out the records because, again, unlike artists today, we come from this spot where you perform live. And before we had records and videos out, we perform live for the crowd, and you have to do things to get them engaged. So the waving of the arms came as we tested out Hip Hop Hooray. So we made it all happen, put it in the video. And yeah, years later, our guy Burna Boy, massive, big shout to Burna Boy, massive Afrobeats artist from Nigeria. One day we get a call from his label, Atlantic Records. They're like, hey, Burna Boy wants to do a song with you guys. So I was like familiar with the name, but I had to dig in. And I remember the song, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I was like, oh, this is big. So it was like, why? But then, you know, we heard in his interviews, he was like, look, when I was 3 years old, the first song I learned was Hip Hop Parade. So I was always a big fan, and it was great because I learned in his career, he was kind of getting robbed or shunned by the Grammys and never got a Grammy award. So this album, Twice as Tall, when he called in Naughty by Nature, and then P. Diddy, Puff Daddy was an executive producer on it. So he called in some Grammy winners to be on an album, and I liken it to us being his good luck because that was the album he won the first Grammy for.
So you actually contributed to a Grammy-winning album.
Absolutely.
No. 30 years later. Yes. That's got to be legendary. Now, in terms of the song Hip Hop Array, who produced it? And after you tested it at Summer Jam, this is in New Jersey, right?
Well, the Summer Jam we tested it, it was in the West Coast, in Oakland, the Bay Area.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so you tested an East Coast record on the West Coast.
Yes. Yes.
So that kind of lets you know that it's going to work worldwide.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Burna Boy, Tems, Wizkid, all of them, they're coming to America. They're taking over.
Right.
Burna Boy is about to shut down a stadium in the U.S.
Right.
He did two shows at Madison Square Garden back to back.
Yep. Sorry.
Sold out. Is hip-hop threatened by Afrobeat?
No, I don't think hip-hop is threatened by Afrobeats, but I think hip-hop should be on notice that, you know, we kind of think that this is the only music out there that matters, you know what I mean? But I think some of the audience is getting tired of some of the messaging in hip-hop. A lot of the messaging is redundant. And although women are emerging and rising, you know, in the game, their messaging is getting redundant, inviting you to the lady parts and all of this stuff. But the world music, Afrobeats, even some of the reggaeton, is bringing good vibes, better vibes, less violent vibes. So people are like, okay, this is a good alternative. So I would warn hip-hop that, yeah, if you're not careful, you can get eclipsed by a different vibe of music.
Wow, that's you hear that, hip-hop? The Africans are coming.
That's right.
Have you been to the dance hall? Have you been deep dive into dance hall? Are you knowledgeable about dance hall? And what do you think about dance hall's present state versus Afrobeats?
I know. Actually, I was talking to some of the guys at the hotel about it. I haven't done the deep dive, but I was like, we were talking about the difference in some of the classic reggae and dancehall compared to now. So one of the guys was like, well, dancehall always been raw. And I was like, yeah, but I see the kids, they climb a 5-story building and then jump on top of the girl and bang her up and mosh her up. I'm like, what is that, you know? So I'm like,
Africa, it's quite Africa.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, hey, it's part of the culture, but you know, I have to do the deep dive and do more studying.
So like hip-hop, right? Like especially drill hip-hop, there's a new version of dancehall called trap dancehall, okay. which has the same topics as drill hip-hop.
Okay.
Scamming, killing, very heinous stuff.
Right.
It's actually the exact kind of music, mm-hmm. and the artists are actually cross-collaborating. The drill rappers in the UK and the US, they collaborate with the trap dancehall acts in Jamaica.
Right.
Skilly Bang, Bobby Shmurda, all of them together, right?
Shmurda's Jamaican too, right?
Yeah, he's I think Panamanian and Jamaican. Yeah. His father, I believe, is Jamaican.
Okay.
But do you think it's working? Do you think trap is working? From where you sit, you're not like focused on the music every day. From where you're sitting, do you think that trap music is working?
No, it's not working, and as a matter of fact, it's genocidal, you know, because what's happening in the U.S. with the drill music and even with Young Thug and these guys, it's like, you know, the conditions present themselves, but you have to be careful in how you engage it, right? Because now we have the feds, and they're setting everyone up, and then next thing you know, there's the RICO cases coming, and they're rounding up 20, 30, 40 guys at a time. And psychologically, this stuff has been tested. They could break anyone and make them rat on you and tell on you. And then next thing you know, you're doing 20, 30 years. And, you know, that's everything that hip-hop and dancehall or music in general was supposed to be against, you know? You got into music to have a career and you have a workaround through your struggle, not to get into music, to create this bad struggle, and you lose your life or you're doing 20, 30 years in prison. So I just, again, caution these young people, don't fall for the okey-doke, you know? Because people will watch you destroy yourself. And we were talking about this earlier. I think it's time for veteran artists, parents, politicians to put more pressure on these record labels and these social media platforms to kind of get it together. And you can censor some of this stuff, because if you can censor the President of the United States and deplatform him, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to deplatform these kids who are going around FaceTime Live looking for ops, live shootouts, people getting shot on live. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing? How much more do you need to exploit our kids? So we have to come after them, and we have to correct this culture, period. Or else it's going to be a toxic culture that no one wants to be a part of.
Wow. You talked to me about you launched a new label.
Yes.
Tell me about the new label and what it's going to do for artists.
Yes. So KG and I, my DJ and producer, two-thirds of Naughty by Nature, we started a new project called Ill Town Sluggers. So Ill Town Sluggers is a DJ hype set. It's me, KG, and Slugger the Bear, the mascot. So we do a DJ hype set. For the past 2019 and 2022, we went out and opened up for New Kids on the Block. Each tour was 55 arenas. So we covered over 110 arenas and over a million people in the last two tours. So now with Ill Town Sluggers, we have Slugger Music, which is a record label, artist development, and a platform in general, you know? So we could help develop new artists, because KG produced Next, Jhené, Jaheim, and Naughty by Nature. So he loves developing artists and creating new music. So he and I partnered up, and now we have this platform, from live music to recorded music to the metaverse and NFTs and that whole Web3 space. We're doing all of that and staying innovative and just staying on the cutting edge and you know, being a lane and being an outlet for the kind of music that we like, the kind of music we wouldn't mind your son and daughter doing if they were in our hands, you know?
How can artists become a part of it?
So just hit us up. We're at Ill Town Sluggers on Instagram, illtownsluggers.com on the website. And we're out there, man. Just inbox us, follow what we're doing. And we're always looking for good artists, good talented artists.
I saw where you said you and Tretch not seeing eye to eye. For the hip hop world, this is breaking our hearts, right? So y'all need to make up. But tell me, what's the problem with you and the Naughty by Nature duo partner?
Right. Well, I think it's something with brothers, period. You know, the three of us have been together literally since 1985. So we were 15 years old when we first formed our group, The New Style. And now we're 52, almost 53 years old. So it's literally a marriage, you know what I'm saying? And when you look back, I'm looking back all of these years, I'm like, wow, not only did I dedicate my life to the music industry, but I really dedicated my life to my two partners, you know? We've all done that with each other, and it's a true marriage. So just like in any marriage, any family, you get a little weary, you need time alone, you know, and take a break. So that's what we did. We took a break and let everybody go out there and just find some of your other interests. Tretch is doing a play right now, a New Jack City play in the States.
Really? Yeah. Where is it showing?
All over the country. He's been all over the country doing that. KG and I have been touring.
He's playing Nino Brown?
I think, yeah, he is.
Oh, he's Nino?
Yeah. He actually is.
So he's like 65.
Exactly. And then Kay and I are doing the Slugger thing. And then, you know, we're talking, working behind the scenes that we eventually will reunite. And then ultimately, we want to pull everyone together. So that would be Naughty by Nature, Jhené, Next, Jaheim, everybody who KG produced. And then we have Queen Latifah and her manager, Shaquem. They have a little interest in the game, too, to help bring this thing together. So from our flavor unit, Naughty by Nature family, you never know what you're going to see in 2024.
Speaking of that, will there ever be a Naughty by Nature movie?
Yeah, we've been talking about that as well with Flavor Unit. You know, Queen Latifah and Shaquem, the Flavor Unit, they signed us and discovered us. So, you know, we signed the Flavor Unit management, then signed the Tommy Boy Records, which Queen Latifah was signed to. So they gave us their start, our start in this music industry. And of course, they're heavy in television and film, so they have a lot of plugs. And Shaquem always says, Naughty by Nature's story is Flavor Unit's story, because when they were struggling and going through difficult times, we were the first artists signed to Flavor Unit. And because we blew up so big, it really helped out a lot. And Queen Latifah did Living Single. And, you know, that was a bridge in her music and television and film career. She took off from there. We took off. So, yeah, we have a hell of a story to tell. So we got to get that together.
What's your favorite album of all time?
Of all time? I would have to say between Run DMC Raising Hell or KRS-One, one of his first albums, like Criminal Minded, you know?
Aggressive.
Because KRS-One is my favorite MC, you know? To me, that's the ultimate hip-hop artist, right? He's conscious of his history. He's a teacher, he's an educator. But as well, he come from the streets. He loves the art and the competition of hip hop. So he could still battle you. And if your crew is whack, they still rush you out the building. But he still pulls it back. And he's definitely a socially conscious brother.
One of my favorite KRS lines was when he said, "Look at my nose, I'm even breathing more air than you."
Right, pure African.
When he said that, yeah, I'd be checking mine out.
Right.
Yeah. So, as you're in Jamaica, right, and you're seeing the Jamaican vibe, would you ever come live here?
Yes, I would. Actually, my friend I'm out here with, it's my goddaughter's mother. They live out in Maypin. So I see where they grew up, and I see just the area. And, you know, there's a lot of development going on all around the world. I'm like, wow, this would be a cool spot to do some development with, because where they live, the bridge is being built right across there. And it's going,
going.
So I'm like, wow, where they're located, perfect, right off the highway. So absolutely, you know, absolutely.
Wicked, man. Anything else you want to plug on World Music Views?
Well, World Music Views, I just want to thank all the people for all the love and support. Naughty by Nature started in 1991, and here we are 30 plus years later, celebrating the 30th anniversary of our second album, Hip Hop Hooray. We have this new project out with the R&B group Next, right, KG and I. So it's a project called Next by Nature. The first single is called That's Me. We just shot the video for it, but That's Me is streaming across all of the streaming platforms right now. Great music. We have tons more in store. And look out for us. Naughty by Nature is forever. And that's the Instagram album handle too, at Naughty by Nature forever.
Tell them your handle.
My handle is at Uncle Vin Rock, and then KG is at KGNBN. Tretch is at Tretch Tribe. And yeah, we're out here, man. Just make it happen.
So I've always wanted to do this since watching Big Tigger in the basement, right? To have a hip hop act do a freestyle on my show. Off the top. I don't know if I'm stretching. No pun intended. But can you give us your wickedest freestyle? World Music Views exclusive right here in Jamaica at the Spanish Court Hotel. Vin Rock from Naughty by Nature. Let's go.
Let me see. Bring me a competitor who thinks he's better to rock my spot up in this rap game. I serve him seize the grease, the freeze, the trap shame. Thinking you got what it takes to bring me to my knees. Well, I stomp the comp and just keep living life of getting cheese. And it ain't no other you'll fall for me like I'm your lover. Put me up against your mother, I'll still be top runner. I'm sick of all these petty players coming on some crime-ish. Pick up the microphone with some straight lyrics and rhymes. It's the 1989 and naughty brings the danger ruckus. I'm snatching microphones from all you corny mother suckers. You're staring in the face of 15 years of development. So all that tiny town talk you talking is irrelevant. I'm selling out the trunk out the front of my store, or take it to your face while I'm out on tour. Anywhere I go, everywhere I flow, I'm guaranteed to make them holler. You could count a million likes, but can you count $1 million?
I thought you were going to give War Music Views a shout out. Wicked, wicked, wicked.
Rock World Music Views. We're here.
World Music Views, this is what we do. International superstar, Vin Rock of Naughty by Nature. This is World Music Views. Like, subscribe, comment. And remember, log on to worldmusicviews.com for more music news worldwide.